Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay in the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Well, I'm on my way. I don't know where I'm going. I'm on my way. I'm taking my time, but I don't know where. Goodbye, Rose, is the queen of Corona. See me and Julio down by the schoolyard. See me and Julio down by the schoolyard.
Good morning, 810 News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Beautiful day looks like it's going to be today. Julio Diaz is the host of Let's Go Pensacola, 4 o'clock on Saturday here on News Radio. He is also the founder, host, and practitioner extraordinaire. I feel like he ought to have a special uniform. For the Pensacola Movie Club, you can follow them on Facebook and then show up and watch a movie and talk about it with them. Julio, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Hey, good morning, Andrew.
Civil War. This looks kind of interesting.
Yeah, so I think it is, and I think it's maybe a different movie than you might be expecting from the trailers or from the name. The movie isn't really about the Civil War. The Civil War is just kind of what's happening in this movie. So this is set against the backdrop of a second American Civil War.
Okay.
There's the United States is broken off into factions, and that's kind of the backdrop there. That's not really what the story is about. The story is about these journalists that are covering it. There's a team of a reporter and a photographer. The photographer is the lead actress, is played by Kirsten Dunst.
Okay.
Who is phenomenal in this movie, just phenomenal in this movie. They head off. Their plan is to get into Washington, D.C. and interview the president. Before DC falls, because it looks like DC falling is imminent.
Okay.
And this president is, they don't go into a lot of the politics or anything, but this administration has been very hostile towards the press, and basically any media that have gotten close to him have gotten, frankly, killed.
Yeah.
But they're willing to take this on, so they're going on this extended road trip through war zones from New York to D.C. in the hopes of interviewing the president. They end up taking this older journalist with them, and then this young photographer that she meets in New York and starts to mentor goes with them as well. And it's kind of their journey and what it means to be a journalist during wartime and the development of these characters. It's one of the best journalism movies I've ever seen. I say this as a recovering former journalist myself.
Yeah. It sounds fascinating.
It's a fantastic film, but the Civil War is kind of secondary.
It's an action film, and you wind up getting a journalism story. No, I think it sounds great.
It's more about wartime journalism than it is about anything else, but fantastic. This is from Alex Garland, who also did Ex Machina and Annihilation, which are great thought-provoking movies. He also did a movie called Men a couple years ago that I thought was a little bit less successful. So this is a return to form for him, as far as I'm concerned.
We've got a couple also-rans this week. Sting.
Yeah, not about the singer, not about the wrestler. This is a movie, a horror movie about an insect. Now, from that title, what kind of insect do you think that might be?
It's probably going to be the mealybug.
No, and it's not a bee either. It's about a spider. It's about
of course it is.
A child's pet spider who grows to enormous size and starts eating people. That being said, hokey stuff, but I guess it kind of knows it's a little bit hokey. Getting okay reviews, running in the low 70s on Rotten Tomatoes.
Arcadian with Nicolas Cage, because Nicolas Cage is always saying yes to scripts.
Yeah, well, he has said recently that he's not going to do that so much anymore, and that he's really, now that he's gotten all his financial situation worked out, that he's really focusing on just picking the right roles again, and this may be one of them. He's getting a lot of raves for his acting in this. This is not just a Nick Cage being Nick Cage movie. This is an actual acting movie. But this has to do with it's a little bit of a monster movie as well, in that there's this the world they live in. It's tranquil during the day, but the monsters come out at night. And he has built up with his twin sons this fortified farm that they can survive on, but when one of them doesn't come home before dark, they go out after him, and that's where the trouble starts. Supposedly great acting in this, great reviews, actually best reviewed movie of the week, 86% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Oh, okay. And then a remake of a movie I didn't even know we needed to remake with Nicole Richie, Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead?
Yeah, if you remember, this film came out in like 91, 92. So if you were a teenager, maybe early 20s, and this is probably a film you really, really enjoyed. I remember going to see this at the in the theaters when I was, you know, I guess I was probably 18-ish when it came out, and had a huge crush on Christina Applegate at the time. So, you know,
none of us did
on several levels. yeah, there's the remake of it that's been remade for with the African American audience in mind. It's an all African American cast, actually, surprisingly, getting decent reviews, running in the high 60s on Rotten Tomatoes. So, it's not a film that I ever thought would need a revival. It's also R-rated, which the original was not.
Yeah.
So, I'm a little curious about that. But yeah, getting decent reviews.
What are you going to watch next week?
Not sure just yet. We've got a couple of things coming out. Sasquatch Summer is coming out. Abigail, which is kind of where I'm leaning, which is a vampiric horror movie that looks kind of interesting. And the Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare, which is the new Guy Ritchie movie with Henry Cavill, is also coming out. Also looks interesting.
Oh, okay.
So as soon as we know, we will post it on the Facebook group.
Very good. Julio Diaz, host Let's Go Pensacola here on the radio on News Radio Saturdays at 4, and also host the Pensacola Movie Club. Follow them on Facebook. As always, Julio, thanks for giving us a slice of what to expect out of the movies. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, Andrew.
816 News Radio 92.3, Jimmy's got traffic for us.
This traffic report is brought to you by Knox Pest Control. We do have a couple of accidents that aren't causing any roadblocks, but they are causing some traffic buildups. The roadway is clear over on Lillian and Blue Angel Parkway, where there was an accident. And on Creighton and Lanier, we have an accident that has been cleared out. Other than that, we are looking green. Coming in from Gulf Breeze, there is some morning congestion. Coming in from Pace and Milton, you can expect the same on Highway 90, but I-10 and I-110 all look clear. If you do see anything that we should be reporting on, please give us a call or text us at our traffic tip line, 437-1620. Knox Pest Control, their family serving your family since 1929. For more information on a free pest or termite quote, visit knoxpest.com. Knox knocks them out. I'm Jimmy with your traffic on the fives.
When you were 18, you spent your spring break in Cancun. The party was legendary, and you speak of it often, even though you don't remember half of it. The geeky kid who sat across from you in math class stayed home, practicing calculus. You made fun of her. A lot. That is, until last year, when you owed the IRS a lot of money and called the certified public accountants at Benakis & Associates. And she answered the phone. Who's laughing now? The number crunchers at Benakis & Associates live and breathe accounting and tax preparation. It's practically in their DNA. When you need to know what the heck a Form 656-PPV is, call Benakis & Associates. When you need a QuickBooks Pro advisor, call Benakis & Associates. When you need someone who practices long division for fun, call Benakis & Associates, now in the historic district on 120 South Alkanes and online at flacpas.com. Benakis & Associates, leave the numbers to the experts.
Gulf Coast businesses are set to lose over $5 million this month. I'm Nathan with Data Revolution, and this is your cybersecurity tip of the month. It's the beginning of tax season, and scammers know the threat of an IRS audit gets people to pay. Know that the IRS will never initiate contact through email, and any email threatening an audit is just a scam. Businesses along the Gulf Coast trust Data Revolution for their cybersecurity and communications needs. Visit datarevs.com for more information.
Join Gordy and Ad Litem on the Pensacola Expert Panel today. Board members Karen Jolly and Susan Fortier will be telling us about Corks for a Cause, which is an evening of wine, delicious hors d'oeuvres, and music coming up on April 18th to raise funds for the most vulnerable children in our community. Tune in today at 9:30 with the Northwest Florida Guardian Ad Litem Foundation on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
All the big national news in a conversation with Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins from 11 till 2 on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today for the Transgressors Memorial Service, remembering those who have transgressed against the great spirit of inclusion and must forever be cast into the abyss of dead names. Let's join Brother Andrew remembering those who we have lost.
Our first remembrance is for NPR senior business editor and reporter Yuri Berliner, who this week wrote a disgusting piece of propaganda for the Free Press entitled, "I've been at NPR for 25 years, here's how we lost America's trust." His central thesis is that the once-vaunted news giant NPR has lost its way, its credibility, and its audience's respect, as well as its audience, because it has allowed itself to be completely dominated by progressive viewpoints. He says NPR has embraced anti-Trumpism and a recognition of the importance of unconscious bias, white privilege, diversity, equity, inclusion, racial and gendered sensitivity, and every other significant tenet of our religion. He even laments that among the Washington, D.C. newsroom, he identified 87 registered Democrats and zero registered Republicans, a discovery his fellow NPRsters found uninteresting. But of course they didn't care. What is there to care about when everything's going right? For decades, we have been working diligently to exclude conservatives, Christians, white people, and men from positions of power and influence in news, media, education, arts, and entertainment. And we've finally arrived at the glorious point where NPR is an entirely woke, compliant entity. Hallelujah! What's the problem? Mr. Berliner seems to be upset that we are winning. And in the process, he's running the risk of undoing all the great gains we've made over the years toward coherence of thought and consistency of message at great truth-telling centers like NPR, CNN, MSNBC, and virtually every newspaper and university department in existence. This is what total domination looks like. Sit back and enjoy it, sir. But of course, the very first rule about ideological domination is that you do not talk about ideological domination. For breaking the single prime directive of social subversion, Yuri Berliner must go, woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Go rest high on that mountain.
I'm pleased to announce that aside from the brief flub around NPR, this week is a mostly praise report jubilee. Second, we want to encourage and affirm the valiant efforts of The View's Sonny Hostin to bring awareness to the one and only most unholy problem of all time, global climate change. On Monday's show, the conversation turned to the significance of a solar eclipse, the year of double cicada emergence, and the New York City earthquake all happening around the same time. Showing her devotion to the cause, our beloved buffoon bravely and sagaciously connected all the dots.
Got a solar eclipse, we've got the earthquake, and then also I learned that the cicadas are coming.
Cicadas.
Cicadas.
Although I love
for the first time in
cicada,
like
cicada.
No,
100 years,
in a way.
Say all those things together would maybe lead one to believe that, you know, either climate change exists,
that's
or something
point.
Is really
or
going
on. Return.
Now, yes, it is true that certified fact checker level 3 Whoopi Goldberg did have to explain to Sonny that her understanding of the cicadas was mistaken and that their mating cycle is unrelated to climate change. Goldberg also explained that the solar eclipse is astronomically predictable and being a space phenomenon is unrelated to climate change. Then, certified fact checker cadet level 0 Joy Behar also explained that earthquakes are under the surface and therefore unrelated to climate change. So yes, it was a bit awkward for the scientifically illiterate Hostin to be so publicly corrected in this way, but that is totally beside the point. Even if none of her connections were logically valid, it still serves the cause of getting people to talk about climate change and to think that everything is connected to this one most unholy problem we face. By becoming the butt of so many climate denial jokes, Hostin still wins for the cause by forcing the enemies of science to talk about our issue, thus constantly recentering it in people's minds. The average weak-minded fan of The View will not remember that Sunny got all her conclusions wrong, but they will be left with the general and crucial sense that climate change is so important, it is literally earth-shaking in New York, life-altering for cicada sex, and powerful enough to block out the sun. Side note, we suspect Hostin did this all on purpose. As a Notre Dame law grad, Department of Justice antitrust trial attorney, federal prosecutor of sex criminals, and global fraud investigator for Kroll, Sonny is simply too smart to be this dumb. Thus, we suspect this was all carefully calculated to appear so colossally stupid that silly conservatives would be drawn into talking about it and recentering climate change in the minds of people as a consequence. Well played, Miss Hostin. Well played. Even if you got it so wrong, you still got it so right. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Finally, our most hearty praise for the Mattel Corporation and their recent redesign of the classic board game Scrabble. Recognizing that the morally evolved Generation Z wants cooperation rather than competition, is more interested in lighthearted fun rather than serious intellectual endeavors, and just plain doesn't like math, Mattel has modernized the 75-year-old board game with the welcoming and inclusive title Scrabble Together. In this kinder, gentler version of the brutally cutthroat legacy word war game, players no longer keep score but instead satisfy challenges such as play a horizontal word, play a three-letter word, play a word with two of the same consonant, or play a word that touches the edge of the board. The first player to rack up 20 such kindergarten-level achievements is the winner of a game in which everyone is a winner just by playing. If you've ever had a letter that was too hard to play, no problem. Power cards let you do things like turn that letter into a wild blank tile. With exciting cooperative gameplay options that reward you for being a good neighbor, this new Scrabble is really helping to build a better future society of interconnected inclusivists. What the Gen Z culture Sherpas told Mattel is they felt intimidated by Scrabble, and they didn't like how it made them feel, especially when they lost or made other people lose. This important feedback convinced Mattel to make a nicer version of a board game for people who apparently do not like board games. Now, one thing we especially celebrate about this move is that it reaffirms one of our basic tenets, that it's important to always be changing things for the sake of changing things, taking away from people their attachment to anything long-lasting and stable and cultivating a healthy novelty fetish, so they will always be easily manipulated into the latest ridiculous thing we need them to believe. So if highly competitive games like Chutes and Ladders or Uno are too stressful for you, and if overly complicated games like Go Fish and Candyland produce too much intellectual anxiety, have no fears. Scrabble Together is here for you. And yes, participation ribbons that celebrate you just for being you are included in every game box. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
As you depart today, keep young Brittany Crutchenfeld in your mantras as she is still recovering from last week's incident with a housing-deprived person who, through no fault of his own, tried to rob Brittany with a knife when a male stranger interceded and frightened the poor blameless vagrant away. During our investigation, Brittany confessed to feeling safer having a man nearby and even said she hoped she might eventually find a husband who would protect her from life's dangers. Sadly, the Level 2 gender equality re-education and indoctrination camp seems to be having little effect at reforming her, and Brittany may have to be released back into general society without having adequately repented from her embrace of patriarchal chivalry. Such a sad prospect, but perhaps the next round of therapies will succeed where last week's were unsuccessful. Refreshments this week are provided by Windshield Surprise, a Midwestern bakery and high-end purveyor of insect-based delicacies such as palmetto profiteroles, mealybug macaroons, and this year's special and my personal favorite, cicada cobbler, available for a limited time only. So raise awareness of the nutritional value of bugs, enjoy some food that only has a very small face, and take solace in knowing that you're doing your part for the planetary ecosystem. Windshield Surprise, you can really taste the virtue.
And now, brethren, sistren, and otheren, having been cleansed of these hurtful words, give each other the holy virtue signal and go forth and transgress no more.
We're a little bit late to it, but traffic now with Jimmy. Go ahead, sir.
Looks like they got those accidents cleared up on Creighton and Lanier. I had to mention it again just so I could get the name right. And it looks like they are still dealing with that accident on Lillian and Blue Angel. Other than that, we are looking green coming in from Gulf Breeze. You should be good to go. Pace and Milton is clear on Highway 90. And I-10 and I-110 are all good to go. And if you do see anything we should be reporting on, please call or text our traffic tip line at 437-1620. And our traffic report is sponsored by Allstate this morning. Some people just know the best rate for you is a rate based on you with Allstate. No one based on anyone else. Visit allstate.com or call for a quote today. I'm Jimmy with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, Jimmy. David, 15-second news story?
Sure. A former American diplomat and Cuban spy faces a sentencing today. Victor Roca. He took a plea deal last year. He was charged with violating the Foreign Agents Registration Act. He could face up to 15 years in prison.
Very good. Thanks so much. Coming up next, the rap should be a very interesting one. We've also got the Crawfish Festival coming up Friday, April 26th to the 28th. We got Bands on the Beach is happening every Tuesday. We got the Dixon Dub is coming up May 4th. And Navy Day is May 17th through the 19th.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. A vote's expected today in the House on whether to reauthorize a section of a foreign surveillance program that sometimes leads to Americans being spied on, too. The renewal would be for 2 years instead of five with reforms.
These reforms include prohibiting searches from the by the FBI unrelated to national security and prohibits political appointees from being involved in the FBI's query process.
Text Republican Michael Burgess. Georgia Republican Marjorie Taylor Greene says she's still a no.
If the government really cared about protecting Americans, then they would shut the border down and mass deport terrorists out of our country.
Supporters of the program, though, say opponents don't understand it's a crucial tool for stopping terrorism. The Biden administration announces more student loan forgiveness, $7.4 billion for 277,000 borrowers. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 8:31 at News Radio 92.3. A woman has died, a young man taken to the hospital in critical condition. This is after a motorcycle crash yesterday on Highway 29. It happened in a construction zone near State Road 97, FHP says. The 21-year-old man was riding a motorcycle. The woman was a passenger on the back of that bike. The motorcycle was rear-ended by a truck. Both motorcyclists were thrown off of the bike and onto the road. The woman died. The man was life-flighted to an area hospital. Right now, there's no word on whether the driver of that truck will face any charges related to the crash. An investigation is still ongoing. Well, the weather's beautiful right now. Looks like it will be all weekend long. Might be a beautiful weekend to take the kids to the park and check out one of the new playgrounds installed around Escambia County. The county says they've installed four brand new playgrounds at neighborhood and community parks. You can find those at Garson Bayou Nature Park on Doug Ford Drive, Harvester Homes on Belmont Avenue, Lakewood Park on Lakewood Drive, and Western Mark Park on Massachusetts Avenue. And, of course, there were also five new playgrounds installed at other parks last year as well. The National Weather Service confirming that there were two tornadoes during Wednesday's bout of severe weather here in the area. Surveyors released preliminary reports that EF1 tornadoes were confirmed in the Bellevue and Pace areas. The Bellevue twister was a bit stronger with winds at about 110. The Pace storm topped out with winds at 105 miles per hour. Survey teams still assessing damage across the area. Looks like tractor thefts are being reported in our area again. According to Channel 3, the Santa Rosa Sheriff's Office is investigating after two tractors that were stolen ended up in the hands of a local dealer that says he was duped into buying them back in February. Deep South Crane Rentals owner Jimmy White said somebody stole one of those from him.
We're right on Highway 29 in Century where the tractor was located, and it's, you know, it's not a small object. And then all of a sudden, you know, it's there 1 minute and gone the next. And how these people can just come in there on someone's property and take a piece of machinery like that is just beyond me.
And so far, no arrests have been made in connection with that. Triumph Golf Coast providing a big boost to tourism efforts in Northwest Florida. The board awarding grants totaling about $10.5 million to Visit Florida. That'll be used exclusively by eight Panhandle counties, stretching from Escambia to Wakulla counties.
$4.5 million for the next 3 years. So that is really an investment that will move the needle for Northwest Florida beaches. We have a lot in common along the coast, but each county is unique and has something different to offer.
And that is Visit Pensacola's Darren Schaefer. He tells Channel 3 the counties are using the slogan Adventure Within Reach for their ad campaigns, and these ads will be seen on social media and also on video streaming services. Thanks to the funding, they're looking to expand their marketing efforts into some new markets. And it is 8:34, News Radio 92.3. Let's go ahead and get a look at our traffic on the fives. Jimmy, what are you seeing?
David, we are all green in Pensacola. That morning congestion has kind of cleared up. If you're coming in from Gulf Breeze, you should be good to go all the way to Pensacola. Pace and Milton is clear on Highway 90, and I-10 and I-110 are all looking good. If you do see anything on the road that you want us to report, please call us or text us at our traffic tip line, 437-1620. I'm Jimmy with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, Jimmy. Appreciate that update. 835. Let's get a look at our Channel 3 forecast.
We are going to have a beautiful sunny day today. Temperatures starting off chilly, but warming up into the mid-70s by the afternoon. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 52. Beautiful sunny weather as we go into the weekend. Sunshine for Saturday, high near 75. Sunshine as we go into Sunday as well with a high near 76. This is Brooke Richardson for the First Morning Weather Center.
And right now, it is an absolutely gorgeous morning. We've got 55 degrees, blue skies, the sun shining in Pensacola. 51 in Gulf Breeze and 54 in Milton. Our next news at 9 o'clock. Breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
News Radio Pensacola. Your home for informative, local, and dependable news and talk. Start your mornings off with the award-winning Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay, followed by the Pensacola Expert Panel with Jake. Then, get informed and laugh from 11 till 2 with Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins, followed by the Guy Benson Show. Your afternoon drive is anchored by Pensacola Right Now with Joe and Austin, followed by Dave Ramsey. It's News Radio Pensacola, heard on 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
To the hip, hop, the hip, it, the hip, hip, hop, you don't stop.
I will definitely call you back later then.
Come on, wrap it up.
Big circle out.
Okay, you know what? Wrap up the circle thing. Come on.
Commissioner Parker, wrap it up, please.
Okay.
Okay, everybody, that's a wrap.
That's a wrap. This is the time of the week when we hang out with a couple of friends here in studio and talk about the events of the week and just kind of, you know, have beer or coffee. I have coffee. You guys got beer? Anybody got beer? What's in that flask there?
Water. You know. I'm a big, right. I'm a water boy.
You didn't bring your wife Stanley Cup?
No, not one of her three, unfortunately.
Are you going to get her the Mother's Day one?
Is there a Mother's Day? No, don't tell me this, because if you tell me this, then I'm responsible to actually get it. Now I can plead ignorance.
No, it's all over. I just saw the story yesterday. They're coming up with it. Anyway, sorry, folks. Josh Newby, who is a dear friend, he's the executive director of the Council on Aging of West Florida. We were in LEAP together, and his wife likes Stanley Cups.
Yep.
Mother's Day is coming. Kim Klein is a new friend. I met her when we were at the Gulf Breeze Arts Festival a couple of weeks ago. She is the former government teacher and debate coach for the Gulf Breeze High School. She is the owner of Tranquil Villas on the west side, a retirement living community.
Yes, a retirement community.
And also a candidate for State Representative District 2 as a no-party affiliate candidate, which is kind of an unusual thing. Kim, welcome to the Pensacola Morning News.
Thank you so much for having me today.
Good to have you. I am excited about this. I don't know. What do you want to start with? I think... Josh, I'm going to start with your favorite story of the week.
Yeah, it really was my favorite story of the week. I want to say, well, go ahead and introduce it. Sorry. I'm jumping the gun here.
I love it. No, longtime staffer at NPR. It was in the Transgressors. Longtime staffer at NPR comes out and says, NPR isn't just liberal leaning. It's exclusively liberal these days. It's progressive. It is progressive to the exclusion of other voices. It's causing us to lose audience. All the indicators are there. I think the most poignant fact was he said that out of 87 registered voting party affiliates in the newsroom, in the editorial division at NPR in Washington, D.C., 87 of them are registered Democrats. Zero are registered Republicans. It's everything from anti-Trumpism to various woke elements that, you know, have completely infected NPR to the point where even ordinary liberal Democrats don't feel like it's their station exactly, that it's, you know, or their news source. It's something even they feel a bit too conservative for a lot of times. But you are, I mean, I listen to NPR sometimes. Yeah. I always like to listen to the other side, always like to listen to the other side, because I think that's how you learn what's going on in the world. But you're a fan or have been a fan in the past.
Yeah, I've been a longtime NPR acolyte, a very liberal Democrat. And even I, like you said, I noticed a shift starting in 2016 with Trump, obviously. It sort of started reaching this panicked level of, do we present the facts of the case, or do we sort of bias it in a way against Trump?
And of course, NPR, let's be honest, has always had a progressive bent.
Of course.
But that's been okay with me because they've always, they've been mindful of that.
They've been good journalists within that or even before that. Yeah,
and then
I agree.
I think it reached a fever pitch in 2020 with George Floyd and all of the racial tensions. And the article came out at a time when I'm also reading this book called Where Have All the Democrats Gone? That talks about this shadow party that is overly focused on four things: trans rights, climate change, racial tension, and immigration.
Okay.
To the harm of the vast electorate. So the Democratic Party and also NPR has this classist bias that only really pertains to highly educated white liberals and no longer is relevant to what has typically made up the Democratic Party, which is minorities,
right.
You know, the working poor,
right,
those
right.
folks.
Union members, you know, economic right. Liberals, so to speak, yes. Minority members.
And it's not seen as the big tent that it used to be
Correct.
Seen at, for sure.
Right.
And, you know, you kind of see this with both parties sort of, you know, heading out to the fringes of each side. And so I think that has a lot to do with, you know, the frustration of voters with not feeling like there's a voice in the middle.
Yeah.
You know?
100%.
And I, you know, again, you know, NPR never represented a viewpoint that was aligned with mine. But like when Diane Rehm was a fabulous show,
right.
like I would kill to have their guest booker.
Right.
I mean, just, you know, for a national show. Right.
Right. Yeah.
They did a fantastic job. And then when I think it was Josh Johnson. Is that the guy's name that came on?
Yeah. For 1A.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He started 1A and he was a gay black guy, which is fine. I'll listen to you. And it started to change. And then I saw some of their editorial decisions. I thought, man, y'all have just like gone down the spiral here. And again, it's not that that's not a valid viewpoint, but if that's your only viewpoint and everything else is not presented,
they were,
or occasionally presented.
I'll tell you what changed it in my mind is I remember years ago they were talking about corn subsidies.
Okay.
And the economic impact on the Midwest. And I was like, oh, okay, I don't know a lot about corn subsidies. This is, you know, an opportunity.
But I'm going to learn something.
Exactly. I'm going to learn something.
Right.
And they said, and let's talk about how this is affecting black and brown communities. And fine if you want to view it through that lens, but for me, it was so emblematic of ignoring this educational opportunity to focus on an identitarian lens.
Yeah. Do you think they can course correct? I mean, this has been like all the news in that sphere this week.
I think that they're struggling right now because they're losing a lot of their listeners to podcasts. You know,
yeah.
a lot of the stuff that they do, a lot of those like concentrated stories that a lot of us listen to NPR on satellite on long trips and, you know, you learn all kinds of new stuff. But I think that they're suffering from that anyway. I do think that... because from the article, I think that the one that you're referencing, there were several people that also worked for NPR that came out and said that they agreed with the essay. And
yeah.
so I do think that there's, once that attention has been called, and especially since NPR does get a lot of federal funding, you know, I think that they're going to be under the microscope to say, hey, this has to be less biased, this has to be more centralized, and you have to make sure that whatever you're covering is in a more balanced, nuanced way.
I'll give you I think this will help kind of understand a little bit. I have a dear friend from a long time ago when we were in Phoenix, and he was a social work professor, a white Christian conservative social work professor.
A unicorn.
He's a yeah. unicorn, absolutely. And he, you know, there's this very, very famous essay from decades ago called Unpacking the Backpack of White Privilege, I think it's called, or something in that. It basically, that was the seminal article that got people to talk about things like white privilege and recognizing that what you carry around with you all the time, these advantages and tools as a white, male, conservative, or Christian anyway, in this culture. And, you know, you take it for granted. You never think about it. It's you're blind to it, but everybody who doesn't have those privileges sees very clearly that you have them, okay?
Okay.
Which, you know, we can have a good conversation about to what degree that's still relevant. But I, for one, think... if you think that's not true, you're not
sure.
paying attention. You know,
right.
a lot of people in my camp would tend to try to deny that's true, and I think, no, that is true largely. But anyway, he had written, and it went through like, there's like 90 things in there. You know, what happens when you show up at a party, and what happens with your name tag, and what happens on your resume, and it's all of this whole list of things, particular examples. Well, he wrote a version of that, which is Unpacking the Knapsack of Liberal Privilege.
Okay.
And it was meant to be a, hey, you know, in my field in social work, people are really into criticizing this privilege set that people have. You do realize, though, that in academia and in media and in entertainment that you have the knapsack today.
Right. Sure.
And, oh, nobody wants to admit that. Nobody wants. And I think what's going on in NPR is they're all knapsack and don't realize the liberal privilege that they're sort of self-focused on.
Yeah.
And they just think it's right, and they don't think about that's not a good place to be for all the criticism they have of the privilege concept.
Yeah, they want to boost black voices. They want to improve black communities. But poor black, and I say this as a white man, but a lot of our clientele is black and in impoverished communities.
Here in Escambia County.
Yes, yes. Black people don't want to abolish the police. Black people don't care about trans rights. I'm sorry. Black people are still recovering from redlining.
Right.
You know, let's talk about that.
And they're very and often very deeply religious, very heavily Christian, and so that comes into play when it comes to sexual morality. That comes into play when you're talking about abortion rights and all kinds of other stuff that, you know, it's always been a bit of an uncomfortable relationship within the Democratic Party because they're taken for granted, and yet big sections of the black electorate don't align with the national Democratic platform.
Right? Well, they operate in a bubble. You've talked about this a lot of times about getting inside your bubble. Mm-hmm. And I think that the idea with some, as you say, more elite folks is this idea that we know best, mm-hmm. you know, so you have this theoretical idea of what poverty is. You have this, but you've never actually experienced it. So I think that the much stronger voice are the folks, it's like you said, that said, let's talk about the stuff that actually matters to us being able to keep our heads above water.
Right.
And a lot of these other issues are, they're theoretical conversations, but they're not practical, right? And what they're looking for is practical solutions. And I do agree that that's something that's been lacking for sure from the left in a lot of ways
and it's not just NPR this is about NPR but know you've seen I think you can make similar observations about the newsrooms of NBC, ABC, CBS, the New York Times. You know, you look across the board at a lot of the cultural purveyors of so-called truth, and what conservatives have been saying for years and years is, oh my God, don't you see? And you know,
Quickly, let's not let the right off.
I'm not saying that
there's
Fox
a bubble
is always
there,
right,
too.
And that Newsmax is right, and certainly Donald Trump has done. Anyway, so no, I agreed. It's not an exclusive thing. It's just, it's not just NPR either.
Sure,
I don't know how much I'd bring it up if it were just NPR. 847 News Radio 92.3. Jimmy's got traffic for us. Jimmy.
If you are on Kingsfield Road and Felden Lane in Cantonment, there is a roadway blocked due to a vehicle crash. If you are on North W Street and Truman Avenue, there is also a vehicle crash with a roadblock. And Blue Angel Parkway and Lillian Highway has been cleared. If you do see anything else, please call or text our traffic tip line at 437-1620. I'm Jimmy with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, Jimmy. Back to the wrap with Kim Klein and Josh Newby. Kim, who is a former government teacher at Gulf Breeze High School and a debate coach. My favorite things in the whole wide world, I'm a huge believer in debate. And you and I actually talked about this at Gulf Breeze Arts Fest, that to me, what debate does, in addition to teaching you to marshal evidence, organize your thinking, communicate it, stand in front of people, public speaking, all that, the big thing debate does is it forces you to practice arguing for a side you disagree with as if you agreed with it.
That's exactly right. And it really, from a teaching perspective, what it shows students is that there are smart people on both sides of just about every controversial issue. So when they're put in the position where they can look at all the evidence and they're not in this silo of information like so many of us are, you know, so many adults are, you create this wonderful thing. That, in addition to being able to get kids over the fear of speaking so that they can advocate for themselves and share their ideas, which is a huge hurdle to overcome in high school. I can't say enough about that. There should be a debate program in every single school.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's funny. Somebody had made a comment to me recently. I'm trying to remember who it was, and I can't. But the comment about social media, which was that social media, what we call the algorithm, you know, for these social media companies, is they want to give you more of what they think you want.
Right.
Which typically is going to be they want to give you things that you agree with, that you want to see more of. And so social media reinforces your bubble, reinforces your biases because
more division.
And so it makes it, it's literally feeding you sort of the, or it's metaphorically, it's feeding you like the Turkish delight in Narnia.
Right.
You know, it's just, you're eating yourself to death with no really good information. Because what we all need in our lives is, you know, whether it's a Bible or a pastor or a friend or an alternate news source, is things that are going to check us and correct us and point out when we're going astray. Right. You know, we don't need somebody to tell us we're right. We're pretty good at that ourselves.
Right.
So. And being able to work with people who you don't necessarily agree with on everything.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, we all have to do that in the workplace. We certainly would like our elected officials to be able to do the same thing.
Absolutely.
You know?
I did want to ask you your view. I was talking about this earlier today. The governor of Louisiana was upset that LSU's girls team was not in the basketball arena for the national anthem. And he thought that that was a slight or an insult. And, you know, there's a lot of sort of fact issues here about maybe that's just what teams do. Sometimes they miss the anthems because they're preparing or they're training or they're going over last minute, you know, rousal speeches or whatever. But let's take it as if it were a protest. You know, let's imagine that's what it was. And I said, students in school have the right to not say the anthem. They have the right to not stand there in front of the flag. Now, maybe we give them the option to sit, whatever, but it's basically a school event,
right?
And students don't lose their rights when they go in the schoolroom door. NFL, major leagues, military, maybe some jobs you might compel, you know, because that's transactional. But the First Amendment protects the right to dissent, right?
Right, exactly. And schools are part of a level of government. I mean, the Supreme Court's been very clear on how much control government can have over that. So certainly, like in a K-12 setting, you know, there are some limits that students check at the door. They can't say everything they want. They can't curse in school. They can't do things like that. But when it comes to the issue of being able to stand for the pledge, I think, you know, you can't force someone to do that. I think as a good educator, you compel kids to want to do that. You know, you show them that this is such a great country. You should want to stand up and do this.
Right.
But you cannot compel that. That's the opposite of freedom,
right.
You know, and that's what that's what it's all about, you know. I mean, we live in
liberty and justice for all,
right.
Just not people who are at school events.
right. Yeah.
I mean, and again, if that's what the First Amendment protects explicitly, speech,
right.
Association, and to compel performance of patriotic obeisance to some symbol that they view as a problem. Oh my God! Don't you get what the flag stands for?
Right.
Yeah, I mean it's the Pharisees and Sadducees, right? If you're not performing your patriotism for all to see, is it really patriotism?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And also that the worst speech, the speech we don't want to hear, the Supreme Court said that's the most protected. That's what should be the most protected
and the most important.
Yeah.
Right.
Because
and though I can't stand it when people won't honor the flag, I can't stand it when they burn a flag or when they, whatever, when they won't show honor to it, when they disrespect it, when they kneel at the anthem, all of those things I find infuriating. Okay, that's
right.
What the First Amendment protects.
Yeah. Infuriated.
Yeah. So, yeah. You know, literally the tolerance of things that infuriate me is specifically what the First Amendment is supposed to codify, right?
Absolutely. Right. Absolutely.
437-1620. If you hear something you want to react to and talk about with us, that is totally fine. I've been on this today particularly because Jared Moore last night did what I consider to be a fairly brave thing. He got up and, he was sitting there, but, you know, he spoke at the end of the city council meeting and said, you know, we're 11 weeks without a District 4 commissioner in Escambia County.
Mm-hmm.
That's 20% of the year for 20% of the commission. The people who live in the city, at least they have the city resources. They have access to their city council members and the mayor and so forth. But people who don't live in the city in District 4, there's you know, Escambia unincorporated in District 4, including Pensacola Beach and some parts up to the north. They literally have no representative for the last 2.5, almost 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a problem.
Yeah,
I mean,
absolutely.
This is a real problem. The governor is dragging his feet. In the past, we know it's taken him a long time to appoint replacements. And for Jared Moore, who wants to be the appointee.
Right.
To
right.
get up and say,
right.
implied the governor's not doing his job, you know, that's probably not likely to facilitate him getting the position.
Right.
I would like to believe we lived in a world where it would help, where the
right.
governor would be, oh, that's the kind of person we want.
And it is the kind of person we want.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
The person who doesn't mind telling truth to power.
Right.
Because if he's willing to tell the truth to the governor, and the governor has a lot of weaknesses, this being one of them. Then I think Jared would also be willing to tell truth to the institutional power of the community, the developers, the bears, you know,
right.
what have you. And I think that is the kind of person that you want in office. But so frequently it's not the person who gets in office.
And somebody who's listening to the people.
Sure.
I mean, that's really, you know, I attended that county commissioners meeting last week, and I saw, you know, person after person after person go up and say that they were being negatively affected by the subdivision that's being put in there, the JoJo subdivision that we talked about. And so, and every time they got up, they thought, well, we're just really concerned that we don't have anybody representing our district. So we're appealing to the rest of you guys to listen. And it is, I mean, we live in a system of government where you have your representation.
Right.
And if you don't have representation in elected government, then you don't have a voice. And I think these folks are feeling like they're being ignored.
And this is, go ahead, Josh.
Well, I was going to say, and for a Republican governor who is supposedly so prioritizes home rule, local governance, mm-hmm. right?
But
you would think
not,
this would be a priority.
That's not what's
happening. Oh, no, of course not.
That is not what's happening.
But philosophically,
yes.
You would think it would be consistent.
We'll come back to this in a second because I think this is a really important one. Jimmy's got traffic on the fives. Jimmy?
If you are on Kingsfield Road in Fendon Lane in Cantonment, that roadway is blocked due to a vehicle crash on Truman and North W Street. That roadway is now clear, and the accident that was on Blue Angel Parkway and Lillian has been clear as well. If you see anything else on the road, please give us a call or text at the traffic tip line, 437-1620. I'm Jimmy with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, Jimmy. So we're back to this. Oh, and by the way, Jimmy is our new producer. Officially, kind of Monday, really, will be his last training day. Today's his last training day. But Jimmy, welcome aboard.
Thank you for having me.
And Jake, who is going to stay on Pep Talk but had family issues with being here on the morning show, is leaving us. Jake, put your face in front of the mic for 2 seconds. I just want to say, I love you, and I'm so glad you've been here,
man.
And I'm going to miss you, but we're glad we're finding a solution that works better for you.
And I'm glad I still get to see you every day, though.
Changer, that's exactly too, right. Bro. All right, so back to this conversation about the District 4 vacancy in Escambia County. Yeah, I was just doing a real quick look of a map, and JoJo subdivision. So you have this long-standing subdivision there with single-family residents in a fairly rural sort of setting. Not super rural, but fairly. And there's a massive apartment complex that wants to go in. I think that's the basic gist of it. Hundreds of people, and they're likely to use those roads as access. And it's a big mess, right? It's the kind of thing that active, engaged people go to try to protest and to stop from happening. Mm-hmm. And right now, those people have no representative.
Right.
They got to, you know, hope for the kindness of strangers, basically, that, you know, Stephen Barry and Jeff Bergosh and Lumen May and Mike Kohler, who are not their representatives, are going to care to stop. I've been told, they're texting me this morning, these JoJo residents, where they're saying, we don't have anybody to appeal to, and we think the builder is maybe trying to take advantage of this gap in order to get something through that he couldn't get through if there was a D4 representative. That's bad.
Right.
Really, really bad.
It is bad in terms of not having a direct line for redress of grievances. But I'm curious just from a political perspective.
Yeah.
Do you think, because majority is still three, so would having that District 4 seat filled change the calculus of the actual voting?
So the three vote is a block almost always.
Right.
Jeff Bergosh, Lumen May, and Stephen Barry, a block with which I disagree pretty vehemently, pretty frequently. That said, there is such a strong, long-standing principle of district deference in Escambia County, where we have single district representatives. They will do something against the will of the district representative, as Lumen May will be very quick to remind you happened with Rawson Lane being vacated for the benefit of PCC. But still, almost always will they defer, and this would be a case where the D4 representative, if he were there, could say, this is my district, I think you can defer to me a little bit.
Gotcha.
Right, and with so much new development that's going in, I mean, there are billions of dollars being allocated now for different developments across the county that not having that fifth person there is definitely going to be not good.
Well, even if the votes didn't change, the conversation changes because you got a different voice.
Sure.
Who is accountable to different people. And
for
that
is
the point of the representative democracy that we have. All right, we have less than a minute to go. Teachers are now using AI to grade papers submitted by kids who probably used AI to write the paper, and they're actually recommending AI to help the kids write better.
Oh, I have a very strong opinion on this.
My wife's a teacher.
So I was a government teacher. I taught AP Gov. And one of the things that I did was I gave research paper assignments out. It's very difficult to do now because if you have, have over 100 students and at the years where we had a lot of people signing up for that class, some of the years I had, 150 kids. And that's a lot of papers to grade. And we are not, at least in Santa Rosa County, we weren't allotted time during the day to grade. So I'm not saying that this is a good thing, but I'm saying
you're
that
you're seeing
kids,
the like it's
need,
like a TA.
They
of
need
a sort.
To write
see,
more.
Okay,
streamline.
Well,
yeah.
Kim Klein and Josh Newby, thank you for the time.
95.3 and AM 1620 News Radio 92.3 WNRP Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.